after to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 14th August 2022 Sunday class. We shall be continuing our sharing from this book. Lesson 71, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 14. Before we continue, we will have our puja. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chant. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahan Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivanemi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati Pata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us now pay respect to Pujat. Buddhang Pujen. Dhammang Pujen. Sanghang Pujen. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, just relax body and mind, maintain some more attention, then we will turn the basics of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Evocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vicca jarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipaseko opanayiko Pajyatang vedita govinohiti Supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipano bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipano bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we started. Turn to page 40 of his book. Lesson 71, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wuliang Yi Jing. Page 40, yeah? We are at section 3.3.2.4. People being unhappy with life. I think this topic was brought up by Jin Hao. Eh? So according to Brother Jin Hao, is it? Recently, I encountered one thing which is very strange to me. He realized a lot of people are not happy with their life. Then myself rejoiced. I said, oh, Sadhu, that's a very profound discovery. In fact, after you develop the cultivation of the Buddha Dharma, after you have the understanding, then you come to realize living being is actually suffering. They are almost all the time unhappy. They have a lot of worry, anxiety. So-called First Noble Truth related situation that make them unhappy. The lack of peace. The unhappiness, the insecurity, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and all this, they keep on surfacing. Sometimes for no any appropriate reason, their thought keep on arising, the like and dislike, the pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. These are the habitual tendency, their habitual reaction to sense experience. And they hold on to a lot of views, opinion, and belief system. So all this create conditioning to make their mind react. And they constantly seek security. The slightest situation can make them like feel insecure, unhappy, especially when confronted with the First Noble Truth reality. And this are very common life problems. Sometimes they will not only worry about their own health, their own financial situation, their own career, their own relationship and all those things. They worry about their loved one's situation too. Sometimes they worry about their children, then later on their grandchildren, their future and all those things. And they are so concerned with life. And sometimes they can't have peace because of what the neighbor do, because of their loved one did to them or said something towards them. Then when things don't go their way, when problems start to surface, even having property, having money, can also give rise to problems. Because the ownership of it gives rise to a lot of responsibility. Like you own a property, maybe your house, your bungalow, or whatever. Then when there is leak problem, roof leak problem, or there is termite problem, or sometimes certain aspect of your household gets into a situation and give you problem. Your wall leak, plumbing problem, and sometimes electrical problem, and a lot of other building related issue. Sometimes you didn't pay your assessment rent or quick rent. You may be threatened with the authorities' action to liquidate your property or fine for not paying in time. And there are other type of issues to the other type of bills related, like in the water, sewage, which is the same bill. Then there are other like water bills, electricity bills. And if you rent it out, you are not staying on your own. You have tenant problem. Yeah, if you buy condo, you have condo problem. Yeah. There are a lot of problems. And even you own a car, maybe a nice car, but you have commitments because the installment, the insurance, there are tax, then the upkeep, maintenance, repair, and all these things. Then when you break the traffic rules, you may be summoned, then you may be an accident, then it may involve police case and other complications. So all these are life related problems. Sometimes it's their career, a lot I realize, and relationship, financial, and many others. So for Jinhao to go through that is a good sign that the cultivation has starts to flower or give rise to understanding. That's why you will be more sensitive and come to realize that a lot of people actually suffer, like the famous saying in the Mandarin tradition, meaning They have this famous sentence, 家家有本难. Means every household has their own problem. So the world is full of problems when people do not have the understanding. That's why the Buddha Dharma is very important. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Then Jin Hao said, yes. When I asked them if there is a next line, will you come? A lot of them say no. They don't want to come again. Then I commented, I said, ha ha ha. Yeah, they are so fed up with life. They don't see happiness in life. They don't see a reason for them to come back. These are people who don't have Dhamma understanding. Please continue. Very good. And Jin Hao continues it. I mean, they are seeing a lot of suffering, regardless of whether they are young or old, even elderly people, because they notice that life is no longer the same as it was in the past. You can see society and the value system has changed so much. Then I reply, I say, yes, it is very stressful for them. They can't cope with what is happening. So those stress makes them miserable, frustrated and unhappy. It's like everything is not right. The world is so competitive. And like there is no place for them. And there is so much problem. What you said is very true. In fact, 90% of human beings live their life that way. They have to confront a lot of suffering, a lot of misery, and they are most of the time unhappy. Very seldom you can find one genuine one who has the understanding, who can tell you that life is beautiful, meaningful. Then I say, you please continue. Then Jin Hao continue. He said, the other one that I encounter is a lady friend. She is working in a very big corporate company. She is going through a lot of office politics. Then I replied, yeah. That one also caused a lot of stress, mental energy, wastage, or depletion of mental energy, proliferation of mental thinking, and a lot of negativity or negative type of emotion. Is they have a lot of not only stress, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, all this. Then they feel stressed, under pressure. Then they don't know how to cope with all this office politics. Then Jin Hao continues it. And she is quite soft. She is not the aggressive type. She was like being bullied, taken advantage of until she wanted to learn to be like those kind of cunning characters in the drama. Those that can fight back. I don't know how to talk to her because I also understand her feeling. Because she has been taken advantage of in that kind of corporate environment. People want to present the best of themselves. They want to be promoted. So they backstab each other and do a lot of funny things. And a lot of them only talk without action or do without any action or do or working on it. If you don't know how to talk your way out, then I cut him off by saying the corporate sector has a lot of this kind of people. They can put on a strong impression and talk their way out of situation. And sometimes they take advantage of the situation. I mean, that is life. That is the career of corporate sector. I have heard about corporate sector. And it's not easy to survive because there is a lot of politics, backstabbing, very competitive environment. And a lot of other problems associated with the work environment. And sometimes their life will be threatened too. If you put too much emphasis on your job security, you will have fear, you will have problems. Then you will feel afraid, frustrated, and unhappy. And like what your friend has described to you, she's a soft and timid type, not the aggressive type, not like Sister PG. Sister PG is small size but can take care of herself very well because she has to be in that position to survive because of her career. So she doesn't have the ability, but for you, if you want to help her, you can apply the Dhamma, provided she is willing to listen. Your life is not about competing. It's not about trying to be better and doing all those ugly career-related things that comes about. Life is to be understood so that we will live honestly. Do your best. I always tell people or advise people who are working, try your best and do your best. As long as you are sincere and true to yourself, there is no need to fear. That is why take care of karma. And karma will take care of your life. That's it. If you don't have any negativity, nothing will harm you unless it is past coming thing. Then a lot of this thing they must understand. It is like what the Buddha said. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And most of the time, it is coming related or karma related. The Buddha said under his fifth daily contemplation very clearly. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So very likely, it is all karmic related. So when you say that, they may understand. You can explain very lightly. You face this type of boss or this type of superior or this type of colleague is because in the past you also created this type of stress to others. So now you become the victim. The condition is reversed. We are karma. You reap what you sow. So you must resolve all this work issue amicably via Dhamma way. If she is willing to listen and develop some understanding, then maybe you can help her. Otherwise, just let things be. If there is no condition, just let things be. Just listen to them. Then see how it goes. Also, provided you yourself have the ability to help. Otherwise, there is not much impact, as far as I know. So it all depends. If you really want to do something or develop some form of understanding, the Dhamma really can help them. The Dhamma can give them solution and understanding. And life need not be that way. Suffering need not be. Career is career. Life is life. So those two, they are independent of each other. But when you have Dhamma, you can have both, career and life. You will know when to retire, when to stop. Otherwise, human beings, they are caught in between. On the one side, they say they need the money. the salary, the pay. On the other side, they feel the stress, the pressure. They feel the unhappiness within the corporate environment, the office politics, etc. So for those who don't have the Dhamma and the right understanding or right view, they will react. They will stir their mind. They will trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, and job insecurity. Then at night, they can't sleep, develop insomnia. So fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia, and stress, etc. are very common. So there is a reason why most people are unhappy with their career, their life, with whatever they do. Maybe with their sharing, maybe with this style of sharing, it can help you develop more understanding to see how you can help her the next time. Okay, Jinhao, before we continue, I want to find out how is your sister. And then Jinhao said, oh, she fully recovered already. We are at that time, I think, COVID-19. Eh? Oh, that's good news. So continue to take care. Eh? And Jinhao continue, is it? And then back to the topic. Like you said, I want to talk to her, but I see there is no condition at this moment. And then I reply, then let it be, or let things be. There is no condition. And then I also reflected, when I was younger, in my 20s or 30s, I also went through all this kind of similar issue. At that time, the very hot topic I tend to read and follow is a topic on how to be successful. Then I replied, yeah, motivation stuff, huh? And all those career improvement seminars and all those things are quite common. Then the next section is 3.3.2.6C, purpose in living life, seeing the purpose in living life. And now I'm so glad that I follow the right way, the right path, because then I intervene. Eh? That is why with the Dhamma, you become different. You see things very differently. You do things very differently. Not only you have understanding, but you also have contentment. Because of your clear Dhamma understanding, you are very contented with life and appreciative of life, whereas you understand life differently. Not following the old thinking, the traditional conditioning or conditioned thinking of most people to chase after materialistic wealth and success at the expense of one's own health and life situation. They want to be successful, so they are like that. Who is that young man that got into depression? What is his name? That one that came to the Thursday class, saw me and recovered. Ah, Eric, yes. Do you all remember? He used to share with us, he was so badly affected because, according to him, half of his life was trapped in severe depression with suicidal thoughts. He went through those depression phases that he can never understand why his life is like that, until he finally even came to believe what the mother tells him. Maybe true. Maybe he is really stupid, like what the mother always tells him. Maybe he is not up to the mark or whatever. So when you have such a situation, the mind becomes so conditioned, so confused, and they cannot break free. So you finally need the Dhamma. That is why when I explained to him about memory, then he started to understand how the accumulated fear, phobia, and various wrong thoughts cause him suffering and misery. Because these are wrong thoughts. Thoughts with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. They condition his misery, his suffering, his unhappiness. Then he started to understand, because he held on to those wrong thoughts. He accumulated or deposited them in his brain, and they become very powerful or very strongly accumulated memories that trigger of the wrong thought via response to those psychological memory of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, scars of memory, insecurity, and phobia. And whenever he recalled to those memories, those unconscious and subconscious phobia also spring forth, like the words of his mother telling him of then being scolded by his boss, etc. So all these are the mind states of living beings who don't have the Dhamma understanding. So they will continue to go through all this, not until they can meet someone who can help them understand all this. So I use the Dhamma to explain to him in layman terms, using normal day-to-day language, like the type that J. Krishnamurti used. He understood and he came out of the depression. That's why it can be done. So all these are possible. Oh, then finish it, the end. Closing puja. Okay, so we shall end our today's sharing. Let us rejoice. One more time, then sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will chant the closing puja. Okay, that's the end. So finally, we finish this book, lesson 71. Okay, maybe we can have our 45 minutes of awareness based meditation now. We are off the light. Then you can have your 45 minutes of awareness based meditation to stabilize your mindfulness and awareness within. So remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize the awareness. Then finally, when you already have the ability to stabilize your awareness, then you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation without any interference from the thought process. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we'll continue with our second session. So today, second session, we will change it a little bit, because on the WhatsApp, I think you all may recall, Polian wanted me to explain one of J. Krishnamurti's called The Absolute Silence of Mind. This is a very meaningful J. Krishnamurti quote. You can understand this quote. It will help you in your meditation, where it's not easy to develop understanding of this sentence, Absolute Silence of Mind by J. Krishnamurti. So, Absolute Silence of Mind. Maybe I wider it a bit. So, Absolute Silence of Mind by J. Krishnamurti. So, try to listen. And hopefully, with a deeper understanding, it can help you understand what J. Krishnamurti meant by Absolute Silence of the Mind. So, one asks, is there a stop to thought and time? So this question is very important, because for meditator, if you cannot understand this, you cannot develop the ability to meditate. So even though the question is very straightforward, but it's not easy. If you have been developing the mindfulness training, the awareness based type of meditation, then you will understand this very clearly. But for most people, they can't. That's why I remember in the early days, I shared this with Kriyamita. There was One day, one of my university mate, university mate in engineering, also civil engineer, I think he had some problem. First, number 12 related problem. Then he came and see me, talk to me. Then in the early days, he know I'm a Buddhist, I'm a cultivator, and I'm very good at meditation. Then he came and talked to me and asked me, initially he was curious. He said, what is this meditation all about that you all were trying to develop? And how can it really benefit a person or benefit that person developing it to develop the understanding of life? So I say very easy. I say, to meditate is to silence. Can you silence your mind? He said, what you mean? I said, silence, don't think. And he tried, he really tried. He said, that is madness. He said, how can you stop thought? This is the question. So Jay Krishnamurti asked the same question. So one asks, is there a stop to thought? Thought means psychological time, thinking. When there is thinking, there is psychological time. Means the thought process created psychological time, and because of that, you go through time. That's why aging, decay, sickness, and finally death. So the physical body that is subject to time will undergo decay, disease, and finally death, and even injury and all those things. These are the realities of this physical existential world. All phenomena, they are subject to change. So the question is there a stop to the thought process? Means, can psychological time come to a standstill? Can we cease the thinking? Not through suppressing it, controlling it, or forcing it to become still, silent, or not to think. That is suppression. That's why people, they try to stop the thinking. They believe because of thought they have problem. So they try all the various type of technique and method to meditate. They try to focus, to concentrate, to develop absorption so that the thought cannot move, so that all thoughts are killed. There is suppression, energy field, control. But here, Jay Krishnamurti is not talking about forcing the thought to stop. He is talking about a free mind by its own stopping. Stop thinking. So is there a stop to thought or time? Is it possible to stop the thinking? And we will continue with that. Jay Krishnamurti quote, we will read on that. According to Jay Krishnamurti, he said, because if there is time, that is, if there is thought, this perpetual occupation, this sentence, these two words are very important, perpetual occupation. As most people, or most of us, are perpetually occupied. Occupied with what? Thinking about various things. What do you think? everything that come across your memory, your thought is respond to memory. You continue to think. That's why perpetual occupied thinking about various things, verbal chattering or verbalizing chattering, which means the brain is never quiet, but always groping, searching, remembering, hoping. We can add on a lot of more things that the brain do. Because of fear, phobia, anxiety, insecurity, all these create thinking. That's why the mind becomes restless. Then thought starts to project, continuously project. This is what Hitler's thinking is all about. This is what the human mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind that is not trained. That's why the Buddha called it heedless, it's not heedful, will do. But if you have trained your mind and developed the understanding and make it heedful, then it becomes different. It becomes ever mindful, constantly aware within. Then that mind can meditate. That mind can insight into phenomena, can awaken. So the next sentence you will understand. Jai Krishnamurti says, such a mind obviously is never quiet. True or not? Because your mind is so heedless. You think a lot. You are preoccupied with all your so-called problems, your worry, your anxiety. And try to remember this, remember that. Worry about your problem, thinking about your problem. Then you have your daydreaming, your hopes, your anger, your hatred, your jealousy. Then your planning, your scheming, all this, you create thought process. And every of these thought process make you more and more entangled. That's how the cocoon of thought created depression. People enter depression because of that. So obviously, such a mind is never quiet. The next sentence, listen, this one is very important. But to perceive that it is never quiet, through what? Just through an understanding, without any direction, that one is not, is very important. Eh? Without any direction means you are not trying to reason about it or analyze it. You just perceive it, aware, that's it. The pure mind, the pure awareness of it, that this mundane mind, thinking mind, is not quiet, without any direction. Not to say it must be quiet, to perceive it. Because when you do that, what happens? You created the thought. The thought manifests and tell you that you have to make it quiet, means there is a will, there is a desire, there is a craving to do something. When you do something, you activate thought activity. You understand? That's why you must not reason or try to analyze or give it any direction to make it quiet. No doing, that's why I say don't try to know, don't try to do. That is the meaning. Just aware that thought is there. The mind that is not trained is heedless. The untrained mind is heedless. Just understand that. Finish. Because that is what you observe. Then not to say all these things, eh, that it must be quiet. I have to make it quiet. Just to observe
it is not quiet, then what happens? If you can be sensitive, aware, and do nothing, just observe, means, like I always explain to you all, don't feed it with any more thought energy, thinking energy. Don't allow the thought to come in through the back door and all those things. Then what happens? That sankhara activity or thinking will slow down, until finally it ceases. That's why that understanding is very important. So when you have that understanding, you just let things be. Just observe that it is not quiet. Then what happens? Then it will slow down and finally cease and become extraordinarily quiet without any suppression or compulsion, without any practice at all. You don't have to do anything to realize that, which means one requires great sensitivity, attention, and awareness to do it. That's why without this awareness, complete silence, attentive, sensitive, but not doing anything, you cannot observe it, you cannot perceive it, you cannot understand it. That's why the Buddha, through his understanding or wisdom, realized this. In everything you do, if you are just aware, then whatever that is being aware will cease to develop the condition for it to continue to manifest. Means when causes and conditions cease to be, the phenomena also cease to be. Then when you introduce the causes and conditions again, then it manifests again. Then when the supporting condition is there, in this case it's giving it thought energy, creating more thinking. So when you are preoccupied with all those thinking, chattering, verbalization, whatever mental activity, it will continue to proliferate the thought process. So when the thought is active, how can you be quiet? That's why you can't. The only way to do it is to stabilize your mindfulness, your awareness, and be extraordinarily attentive. That's why he used the word, which means one requires great sensitivity, attention, and awareness. Means you have to be in that state, very stable. Then only you can realize it and witness it. Then that thing can manifest. Then I read on, you will understand. Only in that absolute silence of the mind, that silence of the mind when it arises, a silence which is not cultivated by thought. That's why I say, if you use thought or thought-based approach to cultivate the mind, to train the mind, you are doomed. Because this silence of the mind is not cultivated by thought. It isn't a silence between noise or vibration. Well, that one is within the physical condition world. Like at night, middle of the night, suddenly it becomes so quiet. We have the vibration of the car no more. So you can like perceive the silence of nature during the very, very like early morning, maybe 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., when the traffic and all the other vibrations are much, much less. That's why during that time, especially you study at night, I remember, at about 12 a.m. onward, I realize the whole of the nature, the environment become very quiet, very still. And I can perceive that since I was young, when I was studying. As I later on, I also came to know why my daughter and my son like to study at night, very, very late at night. They say that is the time they study. It has its reason. So only in that absolute silence of mind, a silence which is not cultivated by thought, and it is not a silence between noise or vibration, well, that one is still worldly, mundane, or between two thoughts, this silence is not that. Because when there is space between thought, means you don't create thought activity so much. But it is not that silent. That style of silence is still mundane silence. It's not the absolute silence of the mind, where there is no activity, nothing, no doing, nothing. It's just that stillness, the tranquility, the silence. Silence demands total freedom from all self-centered activity. You know what is that? Self-centered activity means your mundane mind is active, but that one is egoic. That's why it's self-centered activity. And pursuit of pleasure and fear and so on, because of duality. That mundane mind that wanted pleasure or have fear. Pleasure is positive craving. Fear is delusion, negative craving. Want to push it away. So all this is very important. Then Jaya Krishnamurti said, only in that silence, completely, can there be that which is the nameless, or people trying to search for the nameless, or what they call the God nature and all those things. Yeah. Nameless means you cannot name it, you cannot describe it, it cannot be spoken. So what actually that means is the I'm condition, not within the mundane condition arising world. So after I explain this, I will read over the whole quote one more time. Then hopefully this time is easier for you all to understand, so that the impact can be there. Okay, you listen. Absolute Silence of the Mind by Jaya Krishnamurti. So one asks, is there a stop to thought and time? Because if there is time, that is, if there is thought, this perpetual occupation, as most of us are perpetually occupied, thinking about various things, chattering, the brain is never quiet, but always groping, searching, remembering, hoping, etc. Such a mind obviously is never quiet, but to perceive that it is not quiet without any direction, not say it must be quiet to perceive it, just to observe that it is not quiet, then it becomes extraordinarily quiet without any compulsion, suppression, or any practice, which means one requires great strength in sensitivity, attentiveness, and awareness. Only in the absolute silence of the mind, a silence which is not cultivated by thought. It isn't a silence between noise, between two noises, or between two thoughts. This silence is not that. Silence demands total freedom, means completely without self-centered activity and the pursuit of pleasure and fear and so on. Means the mundane mind, the egoic mind, is not active at all. It's not there at all. only in that silence, completely, can there be that which is the nameless. So this is beautiful. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will open up for our second session. Then you all can also maybe on whatever you can understand regarding that Jai Krishnamurti quote about absolute silence of the mind, or ask any question if you need further clarification. Or you can also maybe report your meditation or ask whatever Dhamma question related to meditation, the teaching, or life itself, or share whatever experience that you have developed through your cultivation via Dhamma in daily life.
Good afternoon, Bratio.
Yes.
Mr. Steele and Sister Sui. Before I nominate another person, I would like to share this.
No problem. Yeah, very good.
I'd like to share this. Maybe it's a little bit connected with what Jai Krishnamurti's mentioned just now.
Yes.
It's a kind of a meditation experience.
Good.
Happened a few times, and then just now,
the
45 minutes or so, I experienced that.
Oh, very good. Sadhu.
Maybe from deep sleep, deep sleep. Then there is a sudden awareness of this deep breathing sound.
Yes.
Deep breathing sound. It's like, how to say, it's like,
You are continuously aware.
Yes, I aware of the very deep.
Correct. The breathing. The breath and the mindfulness awareness move as one. That's why that movement makes you strong. The awareness and the nature inside very strong. You will go through that. Yes.
It's kind of sound. It got sound. So
of course, because you have your hearing consciousness. That's why the deep breathing, you can actually perceive it, aware of it.
And then very fast, I also witnessed the cunning mind try to imitate again the breathing sound. Try to
from the background. It's very near. It want to come out very fast.
So but when you want to imitate how the sound breathing, deep breathing sound like, it cannot,
without the awareness within, you cannot imitate one.
So it's kind of I witnessed the cunning mind wanted to imitate that sound. So after that I said, it's not the same lah.
Totally different.
So ignore it lah. So I continue relax in the whole body. Also go back to the breathing, because the breathing that time is very strong lah. The breathing.
Yeah.
There was a few times, and just now one, the 45 minutes one. Is I don't know whether I fall in sleep lah, but the moment I aware, this time is not aware of the breathing, but it's aware of the sound. A sound come up again. The sound like from the heart, like that. So again, the mind, like Brother Teo always say, avijja pachaya sankhara.
That movement you can see already.
The sankhara said, what sound is this? Something like that. Like,
correct,
what,
correct.
What kind,
the curiosity
kind of
will trigger off.
So I can catch the
yeah, that
the sound and the sankhara come and want to find out what is
correct,
it.
Correct. That is what analysis is all about. When you try to analyze and reason, like it come out with a question, what is that sound all about? Means the mundane mind trigger off already. And it's very near. When you are in that state, even Alicia, they all, they go through, they know, it's very near. Initially, when you are deep in the awareness that time, then that one cannot come out so easily. But later on, when you relax into it and go back to normal awareness, and then that one become very, like, very near, very active, can trigger off and say a lot of things, like what you experience by the description that you make. So that one is very good. You have to see all this. Go in, then experience it, understand it. Then when you come out of it, you will develop the deep understanding of what this thing is. That's why the awareness nature and the thinking mind, the mundane mind, or what they call the dependent originating conditionalizing mind, they are totally different. The two are totally different. One behave exactly like the paticca samuppada, like the Buddha said, avijja paccaya sankhara. What is avijja? Ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the truth. Not having the understanding of all this. Then it will come out with a question. Or a, what they call a statement, verbalized. What is this? How can I understand? But if you say, how can I understand? It becomes an inquiry, then not so bad. When you become curious, what is this? And you go and use the thought to investigate and analyze, then the thought becomes active again. Then you will be trapped again. That's why I always advise cultivator, meditator, don't try to know when you are doing the meditation. Don't try to, don't try to do. Well, this doing and trying to know, I realize, is the condition for the mundane mind to manifest. That's why I just let things be, relax into it. Because after the understanding has surfaced, you only need to relax and maintain awareness. That's why the four support is useful. Maintain awareness to stabilize it, the third support. Then the awareness-based nature will surface on its own. Just without thought, you are already aware. So don't have to do anything. No need to train, no need to cultivate, no need to do anything. The understanding of it develops the ability of the mind to become quiet on its own. Means it is a free mind, not a conditioned mind, not subject to any conditioning like concentrating, focusing, developing, means there is no external factor coming in to disturb or train the mind through the thought process. That's why it's not thought-based. It's awareness-based. Relax, maintain awareness, means let the silence develop and arise. Then stabilize that. Then after you stabilize that, like what you all have control, it will manifest in many other different ways, different forms for you to develop understanding. So what you are going through now, Amy, is one of the things, which is good. You should go through. Then you will understand more. Then later on, you can have that understanding to actually manifest that understanding in the form of sharing with people. Means when the understanding stabilizes, then all these things become very clear. Then you can express it in words or describe it to let other people develop the understanding. So that phase will also come. That's why what you have gone through today, based on what you have reported and described, is very good. Salute to you.
What I realized is last time, if we wake up from like a crawl sound,
the first sound,
that one is at the throat level.
Correct.
But now I feel the sound of vibration is at the heart area.
Yes. That's why it will shift. Because your awareness will shift to the heart finally. Very good.
Okay. So that's all for this sharing.
I'm it over, but you,
yeah, all is
you
okay.
And all Kayamita.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Indy, for nominating me. I do not know why, but I had a feeling I'll be called. So I'm very, very happy to hear that everybody is so excited about this awareness-based meditation and the sharing from Gratio from the past few weeks, you know, about the creation process, the Trinity, the chain mind, the unchained mind, the absolute silence.
Absolute silence.
Actually, J. Krishnamurti, although you say it's a layman English, sometimes his English, I also cannot understand. But like nameless, for example, my guess is, okay, the unconditioned, or is he talking about Nirvana? Is he talking about pure awareness, you know? But I know roughly these are the areas that he's touching on because it's not the
mind. Yeah,
so the words he used, right here, I tell you, words can be so dividing and quiet.
He is very precise in his words. And he's very wise because he has the awareness. He has gone through all this transformation and he has seen all this movement. That's why he can share in such a manner. Very precise, his words. That's why at that time, when my last teacher asked me to pay attention to his sharing, I start to listen. Then when I start to listen, I was so amazed that there is such a being. And like me, although you can say he's a lay person, but he is very wise. And spiritually, he's very advanced. Because later on, I have the condition to receive a lot of his books too. Then I started reading about his sharing and his past. Then I came to realize he has a lot of wisdom. He is very wise and the word he used is very precise. Initially, I was very amazed because I said, how can there be a living being who can understand the mind inside out? Even though he don't use the word, the true mind, the silent mind or anything, he actually understands the mind and the nature very deeply, but he doesn't want to use any like traditional spiritual terms or whatever to describe it, because he scared people get trapped by all these words. That's why sometimes you listen to him, he used the description, he said, people trying to practice meditation, developing all this to realize Atman and all this thing. Then he add in at the back all this nonsense. That's why he don't want to mention about it. Because you are using the thought after hearing somebody's experience, then you go and use the thought to search for it. All these are the thought-based type of meditation. And you cannot realize that he is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why if you listen to what he shared, he's very direct. He's very precise. Even the absolute silence also. But to understand him, you really need your own understanding of what this type of awareness-based meditation is. That's why later on, my nature was full of joy because I realized He was so wise and so precise in the word he used. That's why I like to read his quote. Then when I read his quote, it let me understand much deeper what my nature has realized. That if I don't hear from him, it just, if there is no the Buddha's teaching, then all this systematic way of stabilizing the understanding to share with people cannot become possible. So because of that format and all those things, then after some of the word he used, which is very good, that's why I start to borrow some of his words. Like all the awareness and all those things. Those words were actually very accurate. So later on, as you all develop the understanding deeper and more stable, then you will understand very deeply the difference between those who have the understanding and those who have not. Even at that time in 1989, after my nature connect and develop the transformation, then I remember I told my wife, I said, Krishnamurti is very, very good. You know, I heard this statement from him. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. He just stopped there. You know? He just stopped there. You know? He never tell me how to act, you know? But my nature understands. Because when you have the Dhamma, I realize what I did was I act according to understanding. I never act according to memory, which is full of our views, opinion. He never explained all those things. But my nature understands because I saw it in my mindfulness, my awareness, in my daily cultivation and all things, in the midst of life. And then I realized a lot of those cultivator or spiritual people, especially the scholar monks, they are trapped in memory because they commit to memory, they chant, they commit to memory, the sutta and all those things. That's why I told my wife at that time, no wonder very difficult for them to develop the understanding to free the mind because they commit so much to memory. And when your memory is cluttered with all these type of things, it's very difficult to be mindful, to be aware, to be heedful. But on the one hand, you try to remember. You attach to all those things that you have committed to memory. And from there, you like rattle it out, like the parrot and all those things. So it's easier to parrot. It's very difficult to develop the understanding of it. So all this, you will develop the understanding. That's why after that, I just didn't do anything until the year 2004 when Yuchan came. Almost 15 years, because at that time, hardly anybody can understand what this thing is. So I also knew I was ahead of time, and a lot of things that Jay Krishnamurti expressed was so beautiful, so precise. That's why later on, I start to extract some of his very good Jay Krishnamurti quote for sharing with Kayamitas. And over the years, I think we have shared quite a lot of all this. So you can continue, Pujang, yeah. Pujang, are you there?
Yes. Radio, actually, sharing on Jay Krishnamurti, all the quotes are very, very deep and beautiful. Yeah. Actually,
very profound.
I mean, in the past years, I totally cannot understand. I mean, by reading the quotes, I cannot fully understand it. But yeah, with the help from Radio explanation, your own awareness based meditation, it helps tremendously.
It becomes very different.
Very, very different. And also by reading it, and then we can understand what is going on already. Plus, with the breath, your explanation through your 30 years of meditation experience.
And also, relate it to the Dhamma.
Correct. So, it really helped, you know, with that kind of meditation.
You have
gone through so many things, many phases of I would say phases and level of understanding is very very deep compared to us. You know, we are like babies that is just started to learn how to meditate. You know, like learning how to start walking. You know, so it's very different, So I mean, we are so fortunate, but we are so fortunate with this good condition, not that we have the help us, you know, to help us, you know, and all the codes that to guide us as well, you know. And so I'm very, very appreciative and grateful that, you know, that I get to learn in this life, you know, in this life. I don't know about past life, but in this life.
Definitely.
I have that condition, you know. So with the condition, the resources that we have today, with the time, I mean, I would say time maybe is limited, do not know, the span that I have left, I also think it's still fortunate that this healthy body today that I have tomorrow, I do not know. At least with all these resources and I have that I've invested in learning the Dharma, it's really it's not wasted.
Very beneficial.
Yes, very beneficial and helpful to guide me in this life and in the future life.
Yes, Sadhu.
Coming back to his quote, his quote is many levels of understanding. He's talking about the mundane level and also the awareness-based meditation level. That is the unconditioned, right? So in the awareness nature. But the other thing I want to say is, although Krishnamurti never said this, mentioned this before, but I remember Brother Pio also mentioned it because I also experienced myself. There's this shift of consciousness, you know, from the mundane the unconditioned, you know. So when you have a shiva, it's a very sharp clarity. You straight away, straight away, you know, no question asked. You straight away know. It's really no direction one, brother.
Transform you into that state, that nature. That nature itself. That's why I use the word shift of consciousness. I can't find another word. And you are right.
But that's a very good word, Bharatiya.
Mentioned that one.
He never mentioned it. But this one I find very, very
very useful.
I call that very, very precise, useful and precise also, Bharatiya.
Useful. Because I can't find another word. So when I coined that word shift of consciousness, I realize it matches. Because it is the shift. No more within the mundane consciousness. So that shift can actually transform a meditator during that time when the condition fall into place. That's like a sudden shift. Even that very painful sensation, if you maintain awareness and don't allow the craving aversion to arise, then there can be a shift. And when the shift comes, like I used to explain to you in the early day, I try to see through the pain and all things. Then I realized that it flashes through. There was this bright light, it flashes through at the mind level there. Then all of a sudden, that mundane consciousness, which is like manifesting as pain, or the so-called description, like the consciousness which is contained is like the pulling and stretching sensation, which if you are mindful, you can see. That one completely gone, like that mundane consciousness gone. Then the awareness take over, shift. That's why I find that word useful. So the shift in consciousness, which is very, very beautiful. And Sadhu to you, for identifying. This is really true, Sadhu. Very good.
Yes, Sadhu. Because I find that When I explain my meditation experience to Bharatiya, also try to help me to understand with the right words to use. I find that for this one match very well, you know, it's just
Match very well,
Precise, match very well. This, because Because when we first started to learn all this meditation, right, we don't know what kind of words to use. We are like a baby like learning how to walk. Not stable, you see, like very stable. But once you tell us the word, it's like suddenly it struck you and it matches,
It cuts short your training. Because you still can have that word to help you describe it and let other people understand what you are trying to share. That's why thought is a very useful pointers towards the understanding part.
So this shift of consciousness will keep coming, keep coming, you know.
Yeah, keep on coming
as you do the meditation. Even in your when you start doing your daily mindfulness also, it will also give you the shift in consciousness. That shift may not be as deep as the common meditation, but you know what is going on. You know it's happening, you know.
Especially when you do the awareness-based meditation, when it shifts from the mundane thinking to the supramundane, means without the thinking, when it happens, you can realize it once. You are in a completely different type of awareness. It's not of the thought anymore. So that shift is very prominent at that time. And that one can happen in a very gradual way. That's why I like you all to go through all this, is because when you really relax and maintain awareness and patiently observe and see and realize it, because people who don't go through it with the patient, the moment they become curious, that state is gone. You cannot get it back already. Very difficult. Then you have to try again. So when it arrives, don't be like curious. Don't be like overexcited. I use the word overexcited because you will be excited, no problem. But don't be overexcited until you lost it. And that's how. Just let things be. Relax into it and maintain awareness, silent. Then let it manifest. Then it will become very beautiful. Even sometimes initially it's just a glimpse. Good enough. Then later on you come out. You recall, you recollect, then you will understand. It becomes very beautiful. The understanding becomes very different. Then the next time when it arises again, you are ready to develop the stability of it. That's why you can allow it to be. You're no longer so excited or curious. So that phase will also shift. Then you become different. Then the understanding will make you different again. Then all this type of shift or transformation or experience that you go through also depend on the individual's past. If you have done this before, I realize, then the movement, the shift, they happen very fast. Keep on arising, keep on happening. That's why I remember during 1989, a lot of these things keep on happening. Keep on happening. Then at one stage, until I had this, what they call understanding, which the nature tell me, he said, all this, you better write it down somewhere, he said. Write it down somewhere, he said. Because after it's over, my brain, my memory is non-grasping already. I cannot recall unless there is condition. That's why I need you all to report to me or share. Then when there is condition for that understanding to unfold, then it trigger off. Then I can recall or recollect. Then I can share it back with you all. Otherwise, it's all gone. So at one time, I try to write it down. But later on, I realized, no point. Just let things be. Write down also same. Don't write down also same. But in the early stage, when I write some of all these things down that time, I actually, after many years, I open up that note. So then I realized, this is beautiful. It let me recollect what happened in the early days. Then later on, I just let it be, because after that, I came out to do the sharing already. I just allow that nature to manifest based on whatever condition that manifests and arises. Then I realize the more important one is people develop the transcript of what I share. That one become more important. Because otherwise, how can I go and spend time writing all this now? And my memory is not like ordinary people's memory. I cannot do that anymore. That's why if you ask me to write, I cannot. But if you develop the transcript for me to edit, no problem. Very beautiful. It will come out very beautiful. Well, I can recall what I share, and the understanding will actually make it different. So whatever video or audio or transcript that you all do, these are very useful, very, very useful. Later on, people cultivate the other way who look for truth, look for true Dhamma understanding. They will find all this recorded on our website on very, very useful. In fact, now there is the beginning of all this possibility where off and on people will write to me. And sometimes the comment that Jin Hao sent to me, I don't know, because this one, the website is regulated, I think, also administered by mainly Jin Hao. So Jin Hao will receive all those things, like that day, the three types of samadhi, the Kanika Samadhi, Upachara Samadhi, and finally Apana Samadhi. That guy from India, I don't know him only. Oh, he replied, this is so powerful. He like almost swept off. Because nobody can speak like that and develop that power. And I speak like a normal person. Then later on, I saw there are a few of these videos that pick up. There was one, I think, almost 2,900 something viewer already. That one is the most so far. I think it's about the talk that I share, the difference between awareness and consciousness. Consciousness and awareness. That one I realized a lot of people very interested. Normally our Kayamita only how many? I think at the most 200-300 only. But how can you receive almost 3,000 viewers and listeners? So actually to hit above 1,000 is not easy for repeated listening and all of that. Means people are interested in that type of sharing. It's starting to show up. But this is just the surface, the beginning. There are a lot more. When people develop the awareness-based meditation and transform, then only they can understand. That one was surfaced much later. Much later. And it will become very, very different. So this is what my nature observed. So remember, all this sharing, the transcript book, the audio file, the video file, you had a condition. If you are a true cultivator, seeker of truth, you have to listen. And it will benefit you all along. Because the deep understanding are all there. Like what Sister Pochen came to realize, there are a lot of things inside there. And different time you listen, it's different understanding again. You don't believe me? 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you go and listen again to the old one, the sharing. Then by then your understanding has transformed and become different. Then you listen again, wow, you realize all this was shared, but at that time not everything can be understood because different people are at different level of cultivation. So even now NB also can appreciate the previous Tuesday sharing that I shared with Jin Hao and all. He find it so beautiful. The description of relaxation, everything so precise. That is precisely what it is. When you have the understanding already, when you go through it, then like in her own way, say, because what I describe actually happened to her during the meditation. That's why for a person to have that stability or understanding to describe and put it into words so clearly, you know that being, his nature is different. Otherwise, he can't. He can't. That's why they have this word to complement. This is so powerful and all those things. Amazing. Okay, Pujay, salute to you. You brought out a very good condition, yeah. Receiving consciousness.
But I actually read here, I wish sadhu, mahasadhu for all the great teaching. Actually, I'll read you another thing that you, since you mentioned, right? Those books are that you taught long time ago, 2015, I think 2015. Many books are transcript books, when you mention about transcript. 2015, when I read it, I said, oh my God, Brazil was talking about all this so long ago.
Yeah, so long ago, yes. You know?
Yeah, it's not recently you talk about it. And it's so useful and beneficial for us, you know,
correct.
Because we are doing the awareness-based meditation,
correct.
And we can understand it already, you know.
Yeah.
It was long time ago, Brazil already shared, not now, not recently.
Yeah, correct.
So I was, actually when I read it, I was so amazed. When you start it, it's 2014, 2015, the kind of time, you know? So long ago, you know?
Yeah.
Ahead of our time, you're ahead of our time, you know? Yeah,
correct. Not only you realize this, in fact, a lot of Kayamita realize this. One of them is, I think, Sister Lee, she used to tell me, until that time, we cannot understand you. Then I think a lot of other Kayamita also told me, isn't it? Until that time, really cannot understand. Even I think Chipolian also said, is it? Then PG also said, is it? Until that time, really cannot understand. But now, after they develop some form of awareness based training and understanding, that's why recently their consciousness become different, the Kayamita's consciousness. I realize a lot of Kayamita has transformed, has developed the ability to understand what I share and all say. And now they can have the faith to listen attentively and develop deeper and more stable understanding. That's why I say this coming silent stay at Triple Gem Temple, I think a lot of things can happen. So just be patient. Then I heard from your sister Han, he said you're coming down 2 days earlier, Saturday. You can do your thing also, whatever you need to do before you go out. Sadhu.
Yes. I mentioned to her that I was coming down 2 days earlier. So I was thinking, I wasn't very sure about you, but I was just thinking, come back and do some bonding with my family, my relatives. And then also, if Brazil is also doing the Thursday class, so I also can attend the Thursday class.
Yeah,
I'm not sure whether you still conducting the class, but if you are, then I can also attend.
Yeah. I am still conducting the class. Papa Suri's house, the Thursday class, the place that we are using, the energy is very good and it's very conducive. Quite a number of Kayamita who attended the Thursday physical class, they actually shared this. That's why you should come if you've got condition. We will fetch you there. I got people who fetch us. Then even if nobody, I will drive and we go together. My daughter will drive. Now my daughter fetches. So sadhu.
Thank you, sadhu.
Yeah.
Coming back to this. Okay, good. So that was what I'm thinking, right? If I the opportunity, maybe I attend one of the class before the
Cameron
trip,
you know? Yeah.
Just to have some how you call that,
Kayamita ship.
Correct. But I've forgotten where is the class, you know? And now that you mentioned is that
it's Papasuri house. But Suyans, they better have it there because it's more conducive. And Suyan and Mipo nowadays, they don't have to actually, like last time, do a lot of things to prepare for the class. So that, because quite a lot of things to do. And because we have the Pramasuri's new way place, she bought the neighbor, and it's a very conducive vihara, we call it vihara now, because it's like a vihara. And I think that day one Kayamita suggested, I think Joyce actually, you see, we can have a retreat there in a small group. So, yeah, which is very conducive. Then Pamasuri, first thing he said, I don't want to cook, I want to meditate. So these were the things that they exchange after the class. And normally after the class, we have a get together where we have some form of sharing of the drinks and the food before we leave. So hopefully you can have the condition, and we will bring you there.
Thank you, Bharatiya and Sister Zoe as well, being the person to fetch us and send us there. Bharatiya, coming back to these transcript books that you mentioned, right? So we really must be very thankful to all those that are involved in writing those transcript books. You know,
they prepared the draft for me.
I cannot express enough that there are so many transcript books available for all kinds of
people
to read and to develop the understanding, you know.
Right,
actually,
yeah.
All these transcript books is a treasure gem.
The gem. You go through, you start to understand. There was so much gem inside that. They cannot understand, especially the Six Spiritual Platform Sutra. Then later on, the Wu Liang Yi Jing Sutra, the meaning of all those things.
I want to mention about this Wu Liang Yi Jing, right, that you mentioned. Yeah. I mean, just completed it last year, right? As Bharatiya teacher, Bharatiya, as you teach this sutra, right? Bharatiya, I developed the kind of meditation that is mentioned inside the sutra, you know? So that is like so amazing. I said, that kind of meditation that is mentioned about the four phase of the four phases, you know, the four phases of phenomena, right? The sustenance of the growth,
then finally cessation.
The ceasing of it. So actually, you develop that kind of meditation that is mentioned in the
penetrate the nature, to penetrate the conditioned world's dhamma, you have to see all this. That's why the Wu Liang Yi Jing sutra of innumerous meaning emphasize on great training, because the training of the bodhisattva is very different. The first training is, of course, the virtue of bodhisattva. That one we control. Then you experience a lot of things mesh, our cultivation and other things. Then how to teach the Dhamma, preaching of the teaching. That one as a bodhisattva is different again. That's why that topic is very extensive. It's talking about going deep into life, into cultivation, the perfection of them, so that all this coming and going, birth and death of the bodhisattva over a long period of time, can give the bodhisattva that goes through the training, the extensive understanding and experiences of the cultivation, the various possibility, manifestation, even civilization, world system, model. That's why my nature, when it comes, is so different. The thinking, the understanding, the spiritual understanding behind is so different. Well, I look at things so differently and so extensively, and I can understand a lot of things. the causes and conditions behind how things manifest and how they are possible. And a lot of other things. That's why, unless you go through this type of training, you cannot understand. And even the last one, the so-called 10 merits, the third chapter, is so beautiful. Well, these are not ordinary 10 meritorious deeds. These are the 10 merits of great bodhisattvas who undergo that type of training. And they go through all this. That's why that sutta, you finish the 3 chapter, you become a true bodhisattva, walking the path of the bodhisattva. That's why it's all connected. And I have to teach all this, including the Mei Fa Lian Hua Jing, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Sutta. This one all connected to the bodhisattva training, and this is like mentioned in the Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, means the lotus flower, wonderful lotus flower sutta. That sutta is actually the very, very important sutta that the Buddha Sakyamuni actually shared with the world. That it mentioned about so many more Buddhas before him. So many. And how all the people who attended the assembly share their past. Some of them have met millions and millions of Sammasambuddha. That's why their nature are all very different. So all these are covered in this sutta. That's why all those Mahayana sutta, people don't understand what they are. But when they understand, it is so beautiful, so rich and marvelous. It's really, really a very, very marvelous and amazing sutta. That type of teaching, difficult to come by. So all these are very beautiful. Sadhu to you, for bringing out the condition. This is really beautiful. That's why more and more things will surface, and you all will come to understand a lot more. But in the early days, when I tried to share all this, I can't, because people are not ready. And I did hint to quite a number of Kayamita. I did share, I said, it's exactly like what the Buddha mentioned to the ascetic of monk in the Samsipa group. He asked them, which one is more? He picked up a handful of leaves from the forest. Then the monk said, of course, the handful that you hold is so much less than the leaves that is in the forest and up in the trees. The Buddha, actually Sakyamuni Buddha, replied in such a beautiful way. He told the monk, likewise, is it what I have understood is like the forest, the leaves in the forest. But what I have taught you all is only the handful. But these are conducive for enlightenment. That's why he teaches the essential Dhamma, the essence of his teaching. Now this one is mainly for sainthood way, the Four Noble Truths, where he's threatening. But what he have understood is the full bodhisattva way until Sammasambuddhahood. That's why that one is a big topic, very, very wide range. That's why during that time I hinted to Kayamita, I said, there are a lot of things that my nature has gone through and developed the understanding, but I cannot share it because there is no condition. But now you start to see all these things unfolding, manifesting. That as you understand, I go deeper into the sharing, the understanding part of it. That it will keep on manifesting, manifesting. That's why it's, I say, wisdom is unending. There is no end to developing wisdom and understanding. The unfolding of truth, the awakening, that nature is so beautiful, so immense. Sadhu, which is in very good condition today. A lot has been said.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sadhu, to you for giving us the condition, you know, to learn so much simple and also profound Dhamma.
Yeah.
You know? started off with simple Dharma, as we learn the awareness-based meditation, we can go into a deeper, more profound Dharma.
Right. You know? Yes.
Actually, the Wu Liang Jing is not a simple
It's not the Wu Liang Jing. It's the Bodhisattva way one, the teaching is for Bodhisattva. So. And the three chapters are very beautiful. That's why when I flipped through the book, I was so surprised. I said, got such teaching on it. Got people write about such teaching on it. But living being cannot understand. But the teaching was so beautiful. That's why to teach it, to share it, to express it, it's not easy. Not easy. Unless that cultivator or that being has control, has that understanding. You cannot teach. In fact, a lot of the Mahayana Sutta are not easy. Even the Heart Sutta is not easy to teach. The Surangama Sutta is not easy to teach. Then the Diamond Sutta is also not easy to teach.
But Bharatiya, it's easier to teach when all of us Kayamita has the awareness-based meditation
experience. Correct, correct.
You know? Yes. So with that meditation, the awareness-based meditation, it really opens up understanding by itself, you know?
Yes.
It's not like you can, I mean, yes, words to explain, but actually it's more than just the words, you know? Even without the words, you know, we understand, you know, correct or not, right?
Yes.
Of course, using the precise word that you said, you know, but once again, it's very dividing, divisive, like in the sense that say the wrong word and then misunderstanding arises.
Yeah, that's why Dhamma, when you understand, your words are very precise. I used to share this before. If you don't have the understanding, the precision of the word you use is not there, then very difficult for you to develop understanding. Like I used to share with a lot of Kamita. Before you have the clear understanding, the stability of it, a lot of the Dhamma book, you read, like full of Dhamma, no, very many. But when you develop the understanding, really, when you have the precise understanding already, you become very different. You read through a lot of the words they use contradict themselves. They're not correct already. You will know. Your nature will know. But you just smile and let things be. But these are the conditions. So a lot of this can really evolve out and become what it is later on as Kayamita develop the understanding and the problem. Then all the sharing that I give, the words, the meaning, become clearer and clearer. Then you will rejoice, you will rejoice. Then like I told Amasri, maybe 5 years later, we talk differently. Because the understanding has become very different.
Yes, thank you, Bharatiya. Sister Pamasuri will develop the understanding and it will transform her to whatever.
She is now starting to become different. Starting to become different. That's why there was one day. There was one day, there was condition, I think. Many weeks back, I think suddenly that Kuan Yin Pan, maybe suddenly text me and say, do you have any physical class you want to attend? Then I say, yeah, can you come? Then I text Pamasuri. Then it seemed that two of them turned out, meant to be. So that day I remember, it was a Sunday class too, I think, going down. We end at about 6 p.m. or slightly more. And you know what happened? We continue to discuss until 7 something p.m. Then we went for dinner. And the dinner also, they had to wait until almost 9 o'clock only the food come out. Then by the time we finish 9 something, almost 10 o'clock only they leave. That day we shared a lot of things. But too bad, not recorded. We got after the class already. But the one during the class was recorded. So that time she and Amy, there were conditions. I share a lot of things too. That's why very different things happen. It's the way nature is. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. When there is condition, things manifest. Even Ingby herself also said that it was very strange. Something in her, and she just decided she wanted to request it. My nature understand, and it manifests. That's how it's meant to be. And a lot of the things that we discussed that day was very out of the ordinary, because they were conditioned. That's why that later on, towards the end, I told Thomas Ray, I said, this is what I mean. We were taught in this way, differently, when we all had the understanding. That's, that time, the three of us had the understanding. That's why we talk differently. And a lot of things just surfaced. I cannot remember what it was already, because my memory cannot retain all this. Unless there is condition, there is surface. Otherwise, not easy. Very good. Sadhu.
Yeah, thank you, Bratio, and all Kayamitas for all the beautiful sharing. And that is very priceless to me and to many of us that is doing all this awareness-based meditation, you know? Because a sharing of experience really help us to develop our understanding. So we don't have to like go through the Yan Wang Lu.
Correct.
And trap ourselves inside there and then So by the sharing of all Kayamitas, actually I learn and benefit tremendously, I would say that. So I really want to thank all of them, and plus also by my own sharing, I also like to help other people
develop the faith and the understanding.
Especially the faith, the faith.
Faith is very important.
Very important. Because faith will drive us with the virya, you know.
In the past, I do not know.
How come I have the virya? I just have the energy to do so many things. But after learning from Radio,
bring forth the virya, your faith.
So you don't think so much of like, oh, can I do this? Can I do that? You don't think anymore. Just
correct.
Do,
that one is the thought telling you the wrong thing.
No thinking, just do. That is very important as well.
Yes. Have faith, persevere, and just do.
Yes, correct. So I like to thank all Kayamitas and most of all Radio Masati for all your teachings that give me that the so called resources and the opportunity and the conditions to grow and develop and transform myself.
That's why we have to thank them. Thank technology. That all these
people. Yes, the technology, the Zoom, and the recording by all the faithful beginning, and then now Brother Chin Hao,
they all, and the helpers, those who help.
Also, Sister Christie also. And all the people that the Kayamita that wrote all the transcript book, the other one is about
the unique code.
It's also very beautiful, short and sweet and precise, you know. Actually, I'm also very amazed by Sister Indy that she can record so many of it, you know.
160 something.
She's so consistent and so persistent.
Because she can pick up the important saying where it hits her, because her cultivation allow her to have that understanding, and she can actually pick it up. And all this that has impacted understanding and nature actually become very beautiful and very full of meaning. That's why she has this interest in actually recording them up. Then when that time somebody suggested that we put into a book, I was so surprised immediately let me know that I got you, I email you, he got 100 over them. So that's how the book come about. Very beautiful. Yeah.
Very, very amazing, very beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that we have so much treasure gem for us to refer to and to understand, to develop understanding, to do our contemplation, reflection, you know, of all the Dharma, you know, the Buddha's teaching, you know, in one small book.
And also the affinity that we develop among Kayanamitas through our annual retreat, spiritual trips, and all the continuous sharing and all this thing, especially spiritual trips, and also our annual retreat where we gather and we interact. And even the house dana last time we used to have, but because of the MCO thing, movement control. So the last 2 years we actually didn't have the activity. Now we slowly having back the physical class for Tuesday, Thursday, and later on maybe see how Sunday is still Zoom.
Good afternoon, Bratio. Mr. Teo Sumi. And thank you very much for all the key points that Bratio had highlighted in the WhatsApp. And also today's sharing, rejoice with this Ingby and Putin's sharing. Regarding this awareness, I mean Brother Teo have given us a very good foundation, especially with essential Dharma. I mean the earlier days, what we need is the Dharma itself, the essential Dharma.
Correct.
Then now the awareness base actually meditation. Initially we are trained on mindfulness, that traditional way. And the awareness based meditation is slightly more deeper.
Much deeper, because to understand the awareness nature is a completely different field. What is the issue on the mindfulness is just superficial of awareness, very superficial, because the way they define that mindfulness is totally different.
And the beauty of this is it have a clear comprehension, and it has in order to continuous, you need a faith, continuity and perseverance to stabilize it. And I think this is, there is a no end of it. It should
be and unending. That's why the training is unending. You have to continuously develop it. That nature can go in very deep.
And the meditative mind, is it once come to the meditative mind, I found that a lot of things that will be clearer to see the differentiate between a thought based and awareness based. And the awareness based, you see the mind sweeping method, when you do it in the thought based and there is arising of it, is also different.
Yes, very different.
It's different because it got the self regenerate effect. A lot of this thing, like last time when I first went to this Long Po Anan place, I text to Brother Teo, and Brother Teo said, focus on the spiritual faculty. That time, I still don't quite understand why I need to focus in that, I find that only five physical faculty, but now as you move on deeper and deeper, you realize that actually is very important.
Precisely, because that spiritual faculty enable you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why the Buddha actually defined it at two levels. One is balas. Balas means the spiritual faculty become unshakable. You have to reach that stability of balas. when your spiritual faculty is becoming so stable and it become powers, then it manifests its spiritual capability to understand the Dhamma, the teaching, the meditation, because it has become spiritual power. Yeah. Spiritual faculty already enable you to understand spiritual teaching, but when it become balas or power, it become very, very, very consistent and very powerful. Then during that time, the mental hindrance completely rooted out, cannot arise. Yes. You are ever mindful, constantly meditative. Your mind is aware all the time at the heart hearing, very stable. That's why that spiritual faculty never waver. The sadha, virya, sati, as well as sati, continuous, very stable. Then samadhi also follow. Then you keep on understanding things. You keep on awakening to them. That's why the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena, the awakening, they keep on happening when your spiritual faculty become very stable. That's why panya, the last spiritual faculty, keep on unfolding. The thing is just the way it is. Condition arising, causal phenomena. So every of these phenomena, when they arise and pass away, you awaken, you insight into it, you become like different. You see, you awaken to it, and all this will trigger awakening. Mm. Then when you develop the initial wisdom very stable already, your mind become very different. Your sati sampajana, Yonisoman, etc., become very stable. That's why the Avijja Sutta, you move straight away to step 4, 5, 6, 7, then 4 foundation of mindfulness, step 8. Then from there, everything will unfold. So these are all very beautiful understanding. Yeah, you are right, Sister, the spiritual faculty, now you start to appreciate.
Another one that I want to highlight is that just now Amy shared about the heart areas, the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it's always that when you come to a very quiet, it actually arises by itself. There's one, it's a very impactful breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, as you go by, Then you got two choices. Either you go into further meditations or you go into sleep. But nowadays, it's more like upon sleeping and upon wake up.
Mm.
It comes to few times. Then the things will come up. And at 4 a.m., that is the time that actually you can listen to the sound of silence. It's very beautiful.
That's nature's phenomena, very quiet.
Then it has the, in the sound itself, it's got frequencies.
It's vibration.
It got a lot of frequencies and a different space.
And when you hear from the heart, there is no word, nothing. It's nature. That nature aware. Then the description of it, of course, is different. When you are stable at the heart, means your mindfulness is very stable, then all of your whatever thought activity or what you do, whether hearing or smell or things or what, is always from the heart. It's more at the brain there. Initially the snoring, because the vibration comes from the nose, there's an envy. You feel it at the nose there. Actually, it's towards the brain there, the source of the vibration. And then the brain pick it up through the memory. So all this, as you go through your experience, you will understand. Then, like you mentioned just now, it's between awake and sleep. But sleep, you can also be awake if you want to. But most of the time, I realize only the initial training, maybe the initial few months, where the condition will manifest for you to be, have the ability to go into the awareness while your body sleep or rest. Then, like, you never sleep on the whole day. That one you have to try to go through the awareness. But later on, I realized it can be done. That's it. Finished. then no need, because you need to rest your body, you better rest. You only need to go through the understanding, the experience. Because like I say, a lot of things my nature has done before. That's why when it manifests and it takes me through very fast, then my nature understands. Then after that, I just relax and maintain awareness. Then if I need to rest, I just rest. If I need to recuperate my physical body or what, and I will just sleep. I will just rest. So all this, you will go through, you will understand. Then you know how to recuperate. You know how to develop the stability or awareness. And the difference between like what we saw, the subtle thinking mind trying to manifest. The boundary is very, very thin. It's very near. The thinking mind can manifest.
Yes. Right.
You must see that until it becomes very clear. Unless your mindfulness, the stability of it, the awareness is very stable, it's very difficult to see. What we saw was very good. The abhijja paccaya sangha, you see the abhijja stirring and telling you all the story. That it triggered the thought process that you saw in this moment. That's why that silent mind, the awareness, can see. That it will know that this is dependent originating. Condition arising, like the Buddha said, paticca sammuppada, means dependent, originating. Yeah. When there is condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. When condition continues to sustain itself, the sustainment phase will be there. But they will go through nature's condition of birth, sustainment, decay, and cease. All this, you start to see within the silence. That's why the Wu Liang Yi Jing mentioned the four-phase cycle, the three-phase cycle, the birth and death, and all. You start to see within the normal, the universal characteristics. Then that universal characteristic becomes very clear to the cultivator. That's why all this understanding is the wisdom that arises. It's not through the thought, it's not the knowledge, it's the awakening that gives rise to all this understanding. So this is something that you can continue to go in deeper and stabilize, then experience more and more of this. So what you brought out is very good.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to share today.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you very much to all the team that and all the sharings that come out.
Yeah.
In conditions.
Yes, according to condition. Yeah.
Now at least now we know how important are all these words, you know, conditioning,
non-conditioning.
They have a very linkage. If you come to realize something, you find that they are all together.
Yeah.
It's like a holistic picture.
Correct. It manifests. You remember the first time you came to me, then not long you invite me to go and share the Heart Sutta.
Yeah.
How the Heart Sutta come out, then you do the short note. It's like meant to be one. Something actually condition you to come and do all this. But you may not know, but the higher being, they know.
But the first time when I met Brother Joe, I just sit down only, you're talking about the Hitler's hitfulness. And straight away it hit me because I'm in that condition.
At that time, your master just passed away, I think, for him somehow.
My master passed away, I can take it because I know a lot of people. So it hit me. It's really direct. Straight away, I come out of it.
Yeah.
Then I go to Chempaka, you know, every Saturday.
The Saturday class, yeah.
Then I went to Sui An place. Like what Po Cheng they are doing now.
Yeah, like what Po Cheng going through now. Then you invited me to your Wu Ping Ding Sa.
Yeah.
What's the condition? Because when I went there, the Kuan Yin's nature very strong. Very strong. No, that's why when I pay respect to the main author, the Kuan Yin, then I realize the nature very strong. Then, of course, your teacher, the room there also, the energy is very strong. Mm. And that place, like, meant to be. Like, my nature has to go there and deliver the Heart Sutta. There were other teachings. And the most important is the Heart Sutta, where it's supposed to come out, the essential Dhamma for the sainthood way. That's why later on only the Bodhisattva way after 2016. So your Wu Pingxing Sermon also, the condition, like you say, now you understand what I mean by affinity and condition. When condition is that thing will arise and manifest, and that is what precisely Dhamma is. It's not a theory, not a story, not something like fairy tale. No, it happened. Like now, I ask you all to do a simple exercise, you will understand it. You recall how Kayan Mita started. Maybe no need until 2004 until now. Even 2008 when Suyan there started, and for Miss D, I think it's slightly after that. 2009 or 2010, I think, something around that time. Bihar Sutta was about 2012, around that time, I think. So what happened is, you look at how we evolved the Kayamita Shiva, the Dhamma website, and the sutra, and the teaching, the sharing, and also the activity that we have. And all the what they call transcript, video, audio, is impossible. Impossible. And how is it everyone come? Most of them, I don't know them. In fact, only Sui An and me for my classmate, and of course my wife and Sui. Yeah? The rest, all I don't know. I don't know. They just come. So all this is what affinity and condition is all. When there is affinity, when there is condition, the Dhamma will unfold, thing will manifest. And even from the way all these Tuesday class, Thursday class, and Sunday class manifest and the sharing, it is really amazing. That's why a lot of Kayamita asked me, but Theo, how you have time and energy to do all this? I say the nature just do. Yeah, this is what the nature through its vow want to do. So all this become very beautiful. Now you all can understand after you go through all this. Yeah, this is not something created by me. It just evolved and everything just fall into play, and so many people are evolved. So this is some tangible thing that you all witness over the years. And basically it's not too long, isn't it? Even 2004 until now, it's only 18 years, understand? And most of you are less than 18 years, I think. Most of them are 2008 onwards. So it's maybe 16 years or 14 years or what. So all this can actually give rise to understanding, and very deep faith, you really can understand what happened and how all this come to be. Oh, 6:04 already, we have to stop already. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Roger.
Yeah, Miss Lee, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you all. So let us rejoice one final rejoicing. Sadhu. Okay, we will share merits with all the beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang pang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhya itang menya tinang hutu sukita hontu nyatiyo itang menya tinang hutu sukita hontu nyatiyo idang menya tina hotu sukita hontunya teyo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha rito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. And we shall end the whole Zoom session, huh? Sadhu. Mm.